baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything. Want you to see everything.
What up, friends, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report. High school sports and hip-hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Ricardo, and joining me as always, you all lost yesterday. The lovely Miss Monet Anderson, Redskin fan, aficionado extraordinaire. Monet, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Don't do that, Chad.
I mean, I figured I'd be really, really nice, really good. You probably needed a pick me up. Just a little pick me up, Monet.
You appear happier. The week that we win, we don't get all that report, and
HTTR, it means hater, right? It does mean hater. Okay. All right.
Moving on.
Right on to your tag team partner there, the other loser, Darrell Balk Knight. How about you? How you feeling, bro?
I wasn't as bad today as I was yesterday.
Okay.
Because of that loss, but it's all right.
Okay. Because Jigs, you know what I mean? They felt like they had that victory in the bag right there. Then it came down. They lost in the closing seconds. We'll get to that in a minute. But you, you're sorry. Look, how bad does Carson Wentz look nowadays? Sorry. How bad does he look nowadays?
Listen, man. Hey, give me a better introduction. Come back.
Okay. My main man, longtime best friend, Rodney Jigs Johnson, who is also an Eagles fan. Go right ahead, man.
Hey, there we go, man. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay. E-A-G-L.
You can't speak about us the same way that you can speak about those Redskin fans right now.
So, ew.
There we go.
Oh. Well,
yeah, I had to throw somebody under the bus.
Right. Throw somebody. We still want. I mean, my team. We got the W, but it was one of the ugliest things that anybody's seen before. You all hopefully were still asleep during it, so that way I can kind of act like I'm happy with the way that we played. But speaking of the way that teams played, your Redskins, Monet, you were down, and then you came back. How were you feeling when Kirk Cousins ran that touchdown? Because it was a beautiful zone read fake, man. He took the ball, went around the ends. He was so happy. How did you feel?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I was listening via the radio.
Uh-oh.
I didn't have the visual. And you know, that kind of hurts you when you can't get that visual. But I always enjoy my Redskins games, but you know, I'm just happy that Kirk is performing a little bit better. I mean, Kirk had over 300 yards and two touchdowns, so you know, we can't be mad at him for that, but we can be mad because we took that L. And you know, since I didn't visualize the game, I'll let my tag team partner over there, D, carry us today.
And you know what? I actually had the chance to watch the game.
Okay.
Because my friend has a Sunday NFL ticket, and I watched it via my device, but the feed cut out right before Cousins ran for the touchdown.
Now, you know what? See, because D, wait, I got to stop you right there, because you said Sunday NFL ticket, and half of my brain was like, ooh, Sunday NFL ticket, come sponsor us, give us some money. And then the other half of my brain was like, by NFL Sunday ticket, does he actually mean that he has bootleg cable up there in college? And so now since the feed cut out, I feel like you're telling me you got bootleg cable up there.
It was ironic because it came right back on just before the Lions drove the field to score the game when they touched it.
Ow.
So wow. NFL ticket is rigged, but I think overall we played a poor game up until the fourth quarter, I would say. That's when our offense finally started to get in a rhythm, a little bit of a roll, but it took way too long. I think a lot of the players on offense are frustrated. Trent Williams is hurt.
Yeah.
Norman is hurt. Deshaun Jackson posted a message on Instagram that looked like a shot at the team. So I don't think that we are out of it necessarily, but that could have been a season-changing loss.
Listen, I want to ask you this, you all, this real quick, because you bring up Deshaun Jackson, and again, I'm not a Redskins fan. They're my least favorite team in the whole entire league, probably in the world. I am a hater of the Redskins. I was a hater of LeBron before he actually proved himself. So, Monet, you know me. I like to hate a couple of people. You know. Mr. Deshaun, do you all feel as though he's feeling a certain kind of way due to the emergence of Crowder?
You know what? I haven't felt like Deshaun Jackson was a part of this team since he's gotten here.
Wow.
No, I really haven't. I haven't felt that way. You never really see that camaraderie from Deshaun. You know, he's either hurt or he's dropping a pass.
Oh.
You know, I don't feel any type of way about Deshaun. Really, I wouldn't be mad if he went back to Philly.
Wow.
I wouldn't be mad at all.
My God.
That's the rumor.
Hey, look, I'm going to jump in right here, and I'm going to say I actually feel like if he did come back to Philly, he would be welcome, and we'd be able to use him, and that he would actually be productive. Monet, I was listening to what you were saying there, and aside from the drop pass thing that you just threw out there, Deshaun, I was going to say, yeah, that it was probably hard for the Redskins fans to really fully throw themselves behind Deshaun Jackson, since it does seem that he has been hurt the majority of the time he's been here. He's been hurt in training camp, or he's been hurt, got hurt in practice, or, you know, he's been out, you know, a lot of the games. I don't even know how many games he's played since he's been in Washington.
Mm.
Help me out, Darrell.
Yeah, it's time.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love Deshaun Jackson, but I just don't think we're using him the right way. I think
you
have to get him involved in the screen game. You have to get him involved in the mid-game, get him running across the field, catching 15-yard passes, which is just below his average of, I think, 19 or 20 for his career. But he's not, I guess it's just the play calling. Play calling is questionable, and he's not getting involved.
And from an X's and O's perspective, just in his defense, because, again, myself a Giants fan, and we're going to move to them in a minute, it can be at times the same frustrations that Odell Beckham was feeling, because when you're a top-notch, big-time player who's also got speed, you can be used as a decoy. So you can be used in a sense in which you're just constantly running fly patterns so that you can take the safety and the corner with you, which is what opens up those seam routes for Crowder, which is what opens up the underneath game for Jordan Reed, because the defenses have to drop back and account for him. So the ball's not coming his way, but he's taking defenders with him. I can understand how that would be frustrating.
And I can tell you, and Chad, I think you hit the nail on the head as well. I mean, because if you look at it, look at Jordan Reed's last year.
Right.
So, you know, that's exactly what, aside from Deshaun being hurt, and then when he was in there running those fly patterns, and Jordan Reed just, you know, had a phenomenal year.
Because he's in man-to-man coverage. He's in man-to-man coverage underneath because of what Deshaun Jackson does.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, Jigs, I tried to give you a hard time, but I really can't, because your Eagles, you took on the Vikings yesterday. Not that the Vikings were world beaters, but they were undefeated. They knocked off my hapless Giants a couple of weeks ago. You guys went in there, man. You sacked Sam Bradford, I think, six times, bro. You turned him over like three or four times. I mean, your offense is looking a little suspect, but your defense looks good, bro. Are you all contenders?
Hey, look, man, I think we're still, I'm going to always stick by my squad, and I'm going to say that, you know, the Eagles are contenders. I do wish that the offense would get it moving a lot quicker. I mean, you know, the early turnovers that we had, that's not going to work for us deep into the season. But I do think that defense did come back out after having two horrible showings in the past two weekends. I think they came out, and this was an important game, too. This was the welcome back to Philly Sam Bradford game. And then, you know, to have that showing against him, to make it, to prove to the fans that this was the right decision, to let this guy who pouted after we drafted Carson Wentz, to learn behind him, you know, we got rid of him. Now welcome back to Philly, and let's show you what Philly's really about.
That's what's up. Philadelphia Eagles flying high. Now, my New York Giants, we did get that W, man. But like I said, it wasn't an extraordinarily impressive win. The defense did play good. The offense looked horrible. We will be back into third place. We've got a bye next week. We will be in third place when you all's Redskins get creamed next week. But we'll talk about that later on. The big news, of course, going down with my New York Giants is with kicker Josh Brown. Josh Brown has been an extraordinarily effective kicker with us for the last couple of years. What anybody that follows anything with sports is aware of is that Josh Brown was suspended right before the season on for some domestic abuse that had occurred previously with he and his ex-wife. Well, what happened last week is that it came down when documents were handed over in which Josh Brown had admitted to being more than a one-time offender, but more so being a serial abuser. Not someone who abused once, but an absolute abuser. He said some really tough things. He said that in his mind, he viewed himself as a god. He viewed his ex-wife as his servant, and that he treated her accordingly. It was very tough. As a result, he was placed on placed on the NFL exempt list. What I want to know from you guys is that he's probably now not going to play again. Really, he's not going to play again this year, and he may never be touched by an NFL team again. He was suspended once. I got mixed feelings about this. Do we feel as though it's fair to suspend him again at this point? Monet, I'm coming to you first.
Well, it's a touchy subject because it's the domestic violence policy that we're looking at, and we know over the last couple of years, I don't think the NFL even knew what they wanted to do with this policy. They've revamped it with the recent incidences with Ray Rice and beyond. So I think they're confused, and I think they need to bring in some people. I was actually reading up on this and talking with someone. Bring in some alliances that know about this whole domestic violence thing. I think the NFL trying to do it on their own without people that specialize in it, they're all over the place. And is it fair to bring it back? Well, sometimes the justice system isn't fair, but they do have to go deeper into what he did. Every crime requires some type of investigation. And if it wasn't thorough, then they need to do further investigations and take the necessary steps. It's too bad that that happened to him, but it happens to a lot of people when we're talking about the justice system.
Well, but does it really, though? I guess that's what my question is, because now here's the thing. The NFL is a multi-million, $100 billion organization, so I am certain, and I know that after Ray Rice, they brought on more women to be able to take a look at things like this as well. They brought on more sensitivity people to take a look at this as well. What the NFL says is that they asked for all documents and that they were not able to get them. That's which, you know, that brings up question marks in and of itself, but
yes, it does.
Jigs, if you go out and commit a crime today and you go to court for it, you're going to get a sentence or you might get off, but they can't come back and say, you know what, we found some new information, we're going to try you again on that.
That is true, but again, the NFL is not the justice system, so, you know, it's a private organization. And however they want to view it is how they're going to view it and handle it and dispense their justice. Now, the way I feel about this, though, is they do need to outsource this, you know, the review of a lot of things, man, the review of drugs. But most importantly, this domestic violence issue that's been raised. And honestly, you have to think about it. This is a sport of aggression, man. You can't consciously think that in a sport of aggression that there's not going to be a lot of issues that go on and take place outside of this sport. All of this aggression is not left on the field. There's no way possible that all of it is left on the field. Whether an athlete takes it to the weight room and just gets real crazy in the weight room, or whether they take it out on their spouse, man. So this is something that has to be looked at, and it should be outsourced. I mean, the goal of the NFL is to host these games, play these games, entertain the people, but they should have an outside organization that looks at the mental health and the status of these players outside of themselves, because that's not what they're experts at.
Now, Jake, I got to stop you for a second, because if Monet, I just saw her perk up a little bit, and there's other people there are other women out there that just they putting the hair behind their ear right now, they putting the Vaseline on their face right now, because are you saying that due to the aggression that is on the field that gives these guys a pass to therefore act aggressively
No,
in nature?
No, sir. That's not what I said at all. What I said was...
Do you hear Monet right there? You hear?
I hear her. I'm glad that you said. I'm glad you said it. Because I mean, there was opportunity for somebody to misinterpret what I said. Okay. I didn't say that. You know, because they're playing an aggressive sport, it gives them the right to go out to and do aggressive things to people. What I'm saying is that this is a sport of aggression, and there's a lot of guys who can't just leave the aggression on the field. They take this out whether or not they don't even have to be physically aggressive. They can get into loud arguments. Aggression can display itself different ways. But the fact of the matter is that this is a sport of aggression, man, and it's not really a light switch to just turn it off. You and I have been playing the game for many years. We played the game for many years. And I can personally say that after I stopped playing, man, it's like what took over for me was going into the weight room to get a lot of what I had
absolutely
within me to get that out. I'll go in the weight room or, you know, go play flag football. Obviously, it's not to the same level as tackle, but it still lets me get that extra aggression, that extra energy out. And, you know, whether or not guys acknowledge this and they
correct.
Say, you know, they still feel there's aggression there. I don't know if it's built up because we play the sport or if it's naturally within somebody, but that's something that needs to be channeled in a positive way.
No,
somebody needs to talk. You know, we need to talk about it. But in no way am I saying that because they play the sport, do they have the right to hit or beat on anybody? And you know that goes across the board, men or women. So and also when we talk about this. This group that needs to look at what needs to happen to these domestic abusers, we don't need to just say a group of women. We also have to say a group of men, because I think you can benefit from the guys who have actually been the abusers putting input into this situation, as well as the women who may have been abused, as well as people who have witnessed abuse from outside. So it shouldn't just be a group of women. I want to put that out there as well.
So, Darrell, now... Initially, like I said, they say that they didn't have all the information, but Josh Brown was suspended for one game, partially because it was seen as being something in the past, not something of the present. The rules say that it should be 6 games. That's what the rules say. Did they get it right the first time? Should it have been one, or should it have been 6? And how does this whole thing get fixed?
Well, I think that it shouldn't have been one in the first place, because the reason it was only one was, according to the NFL and the Giants, was that Molly Brown, Josh Brown's wife, didn't fully cooperate with the investigation. But if they had these claims of abuse from years prior and they had all this information under their belt, then they had more than enough to suspend Josh Brown for more than one game. Now, in my opinion, this goes back to the NFL being a hypocritical league. And there is a lot of pressure on Roger Goodell and the committee and everybody involved in the hierarchy of the league to do something about this, because people already think they let Josh Brown off the hook by putting him on the exempt list but still paying him his entire salary. Now, if they don't suspend him for the long term, there's going to be even more outcry and people are going to say, you know, the NFL is hypocritical. You know, they have this breast cancer awareness thing in October, but they don't really care for women because they're only suspending players 1 or 2 games for beating on their wives and girlfriends. So that's where the NFL needs to make that line. They have a choice to make, and it's really up to them to make the right choice this time, because if they don't, you don't know what players are going to do. Players may boycott. Players may oppose all of Goodell and what he's saying. You know, ratings may continue to go down.
Right.
They have been. So
right.
This is going to be a really big thing for the NFL, and I think that Josh Brown's time should be up not only in New York but in the NFL in general.
Monet, last word.
My last word, and unfortunately for us out here now, because of social media, things get put out there and the NFL is able to hear what the people are saying. You know, of course, with Ray Rice, it was on video and then it was put out
correct.
On social media. Josh Brown, we don't have that, but we do have him admitting what he did. So whether he admits what he did, whether we saw it on social media, he needs to be handled. I don't think he'll be back. I read a couple hours ago that he may not be back. He's not even going to appeal it. But when you have that kind of issue going on, you need some further help, and maybe the NFL just isn't the right place for you right now. You need to go and take care of your business.
All right. So we got to get out of here. But each of you, 20 seconds, answer me this. I understand and I agree with each and every one of you. Actually, in my home, previous to when I was born, my mother, her first husband, she was a victim of abuse with her first husband. Thank goodness not my father, but so I grew up. I've got three sisters. A couple of them have been abused, if not all three of them have been abused before. So I am extraordinarily sensitive to the idea of abuse, but does it not bother any of us that his career, his livelihood. It's easy for people to say that a person shouldn't do anything anymore when it's not us or our family that we're talking about. But does it not bother any of us that the actions did not happen last week? That these were actions that happened years ago? And furthermore, to your point, Monet, that these were actions that he wrote down in a journal, which was actually a part of a therapy session that he was undergoing, meaning that he was attempting to deal with the issue. Does that not bother anyone that with these being the circumstances that his career is basically over?
That's a tough one because on the inside, you want to feel for someone, you want to feel for someone's livelihood and for their job. But on the flip side of that, when things come out, whether they're yesterday, today, or 10 years from now, you got to face the consequences.
I got an issue with that. And I think that every one of us got a skeleton in our closet. And if it were to come crawling out right now and it costs us our livelihood and or our marriage, then we would have an issue with that as well. But unfortunately, we got to go right now. We'll speak more about this later on. Coming up, we got some very, very cool things going down in the WCAC recap. You don't want to miss it. This is the Report. One cleaner than your church shoes, belly point two just to hurt you, all red lamb just to tease you, none of these toys on lease to, made your whole year in a week to, main out of your league to, side out of your league to, house so empty need a centerpiece, 20 racks of table come from ebony, cut that ivory into skinny pieces, then she clean up with her face, but I love my baby, you talking money need a hearing. If I kill any pain, look what you've done. I'm a motherstar boy. Look what you've done. I'm a motherstar boy. Welcome back to the Ricardo Report. High School Sports and Hip Hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I am Chad Ricardo. That right there, Miss Moni Anderson. And we also got WCAC insider Darrell Bolknight, who is also a Gonzaga alum. Darrell, you should be happy today, except for you picked against your own team last week, bro. How you feeling over there?
I did, but you know what? It's probably a good thing,
mm-hmm.
because Gonzaga's still more than likely on track to finish either 2 or 3 in the conference, just like I predicted them to finish.
Okay. So that's the way you're walking this one back, huh?
I mean, all right.
Okay. All right. Monet Anderson, you and I, we picked Gonzaga, man. And I know I just to give my part here, a large reason for that was not only Coach T, but also Tyree Randolph. Tyree went out there. It was senior night, man. They were coming off of that tough game against DeMatha the previous week. And he was able to get it done individually following that huge offensive line. Johnny Jordan and those guys opening up holes, over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns on the ground as well. They got it going early with Tyree, and they pounded Good Counsel. Were you guys surprised not only in the victory, but in the final score?
No, I absolutely was not. I told you guys that. I had seen the game the previous week, and what they did holding off DeMatha in that first half, led me to know that good counsel probably did not have a chance for Gonzaga, especially coming off of that loss. I think they were determined to say, hey, not again, not in our house.
Mm. Durrell, Mr. Alum.
Well, you can never know, because but a lot of people will attest to this, because Gonzaga is full of surprises. I don't think a lot of people expected them to go 9-1 last year. I don't think a lot of people expected them to play the math of the way they did.
Right.
But I think the score is indicative of how well Gonzaga's been playing this year, because they've been holding off opponents. They've been scoring on offense. They've gotten into a rhythm. Earlier in the season, it was a bit of a struggle, but they've come into their own these past couple of weeks. And, you know, I predicted a closer game, maybe a touchdown, 10-point differential, but...
With good counsel winning.
Right. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get that straight.
But they won 31-7, and I don't really think it's surprising, because, I mean, look at what they did. Tyree Randolph had 163 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Max Fisher had a long touchdown. The offense was clicking. Defense was phenomenal the whole day. So it wasn't really that big of a surprise that the differential was that big.
And you know what? This good counsel team, I mean, because I'm going to be real, Dean, based off of... Because I looked at it last week, man, and I was starting to want to give good counsel credit again after I bashed them for a couple of weeks, because they looked hot. But this team is so much of an enigma to me. There's so much of an enigma. I mean, where is good counsel, Monet? You're close to those guys, and now I'm gonna put you on the line right here. Where is good counsel? Are they a really good team? Or are they just the fourth best team in the WCAC but don't belong in the same conversation as the other three?
I think good counsel has the ability to win. They have the athletes to win. When I look at a team like that and I see all the talent, Chad, and I've said this before and I've said it on the other side of the bridge in Virginia, it comes back to the coaching when that happens. You gotta look at the coaching. You gotta look at the play call.
It's Bob Malloy. He's got the most victories in all of the state of Maryland.
Oh, I understand that, Chad, but what is going on? I mean, we want to know. What you got that talent out there, and it's inconsistent talent, and I don't understand it.
Well, you got an answer?
I don't. I'm with Monet. I mean, I think good counsel has a tremendous amount of talent. They have great athletes. They have great players. But you know, week by week, it's especially the first 3 or 4 weeks, they barely got by.
What I've been saying. Now you're listening to me.
But then they got on a little bit of a roll, and it was like, okay, it looks like they may have turned their season around, and then. This past week, granted they played Gonzaga, they played a heck of a team, obviously, but a lot of people probably would have expected a closer game. And they're 5-3 now, they're 2-2 in the WCAC. I think out of the 7 teams, they do belong in the top 4, but I don't know if they are as competitive at this stage, not overall, but at this stage, as DeMatha, Gonzaga, and St. John's. They haven't shown us that same consistency that those three teams have.
Look, the two of you, if I had to put somebody out there to walk a tightrope, the two of you, I would send you out there. Boy, I got to tell you.
I mean, I said it, Chad. I said what my thoughts are. You know,
you did.
I understand there's also some rumbling and grumbling going on in the undertones of coaching and players leaving and things like that. So that can always be a factor, but we'll leave that right there till we know more.
You heard it here first. The Ricardo Report is questioning the most successful coach in all of Maryland history, high school football coaching, Bob Malloy. I got you all's back, man. I didn't say it, but I'm riding with you all just in case somebody comes looking for you. Let's go ahead and really lighten things up a little bit. We're going to play a game. We're going to play a game here called, we'll call it Changing Faces. And instead of judging coaches, we're going to go ahead and be coaches ourselves. You guys ready for that?
Right. Yeah, we're all set.
All right. Here's how this is going to work for everybody at home. We're going to say a name that the other member is going to be, ask them a question, and then they're going to answer that question as the person that they are pretending to be. And Darrell, you, sir, are going first.
All right, cool. Well, Monet.
Yes.
Let's give you a hypothetical scenario. You are the teen mom.
Okay.
Of St. Mary's Riken.
Okay.
So there's this bum, there's this guy, there's this journalist by the name of, I think it's Chad Ricardo. And he's got your players' hopes up, saying that they're going to finish in the top five in the WCAC.
Yeah.
Now, at this point in the season, you guys are 0-8. You're winless.
Rashard Jackson. That's my, okay. All right.
See what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that guy.
So don't you just wish this Chad Ricardo character would just maybe shut up?
Oh, man.
Well, man. You know what? At this point, as team mom, you know, it's my job to hover. And it's my job to hover and protect my guys. And, you know, it's all over Twitter. You know, this guy, Chad, he pumped my guys up only to, you know, of course, yeah, we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom. We can't get any more at the bottom. So, Chad, hello. We know we suck. We know our season is just not there. But you know, really, I love my guys as a team mom. But yeah, Chad, just leave my guys alone.
That Chad Ricardo should just stop talking, huh?
Just
okay.
As the music says, cut it.
Love Rashard Jackson. I swear to you guys, he's one of the top athletes in the entire WCAC. As soon as he gets the team around you, he's going to show you. Isaiah Randolph, those are my dudes out there. Those are my, okay.
All right. Well, we're glad, Chad, but cut it.
All right. Got it. All right. Darrella, I'm going to ask you a question now, okay?
All right.
Okay. D, you are St. John's head coach, Joe Casamento. You ready for that?
Okay. I'm ready.
Coach, here's what I want to say to you here. At the beginning of the season, the Ricardo Report has this annoying guy named Josh Elori. Josh Elori couldn't stop singing you all's praises. He is talking about you all being the top team in the entire country. You lose two games, coach, to two top 10 nationally ranked teams. Now, Josh Elori barely even mentions you. The highest that he has you in his rankings in the last 3 weeks is all the way down to number 5. What I gotta ask you, coach, is are you mad, bro?
You know what? I would like to invite Josh Elori into the St. John's locker room and get into a few games and see what we are made of, because I think not only are we one of the top teams in the area, despite two nationally ranked losses, but we are a contender in the WCAC. And despite us being 6-2, we still have the talent. We still have all the great players on our team to get us winning in the playoffs this coming postseason. And we're definitely, in my opinion, going to make some noise and probably turn a few heads. But two games lost to great teams, we're not out of it at all. But we're going to see what happens, but I don't think we're out of it at all.
Coach Kaz, could Josh, could he play for your team?
No.
No.
Not at all.
This is fun. It's my turn. I get to. Who am I?
Yeah, you get to go. Okay, so Chad, you are Coach T of Gonzaga.
Yes, that's my dude.
All right. Now, your boy.
Uh-huh.
Darrell Bucknight.
Oh, man.
WCAC insider. Oh. He knows it all. He picks against you last week.
Mm.
His alma mater. The most important game of your season. Can you all forgive Darrell? Can you give him his purple back, or is it gone forever?
Darrell, he's an alum, right?
He's an alum.
He is a Benedict Arnold. That's what Darrell Bucknight. Listen. I got to tell you, I listened to your show. It's the best show on radio. It should be on TV right now. You guys are the absolute most wonderful. And that guy, Chad Ricardo, he's my guy. I think he's phenomenal. But back to Darrell Bucknight. He had the audacity to pick us against DeMatha and then go back and say we were going to lose to Good Counsel. And now he wants to come back and he wants his library card. Well, he's not getting his library card back because I'm Coach Team and I say it doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, Darrell, he's a basketball guy, isn't he?
He is.
Now, do I look like I talk to basketball guys? I don't talk to basketball guys. Darrell Balknight is daggone near 2 feet taller than I am. Why would I even have a conversation with him? I can't even see him. He stands so tall. I do like his sweater vest, but his cardigans aren't my favorite thing in the world. So absolutely not. Darrell Balknight, he can never step back foot on the Gonzaga campus. And as a matter of fact, I interviewed with Ricardo once, and he was 20 minutes late, so I don't like him anymore either. Monet, you're the only person. Coach, welcome back.
Coach, basically, those Ricardo Report guys except that young lady, Monet.
Monet, don't even talk to me about Joshy Lord, but you, yes.
Thanks, Coach.
There we go. That did it for us. That is our game of changing faces. I hope that was as much fun for you as it was for each and every one of us.
That's right.
We'll be right back with you. We're going to do a brief recap of the games of the week last week. Keep it locked right here. It's the Ricardo Report.
I go on and on. Can't understand how I last so long. I must have the superpowers. Last 223,000 hours. And it's because I'm off of CC. And I'm off the Hennessy. Like your boy from Compton said, you know this ain't free. I got girls that I should've made pay for it. Got girls that I should've made wait for it. I got girls that I cancel a flight back home. Stay another day for it. You got attitude on 9-9, yo. On agua, yo. Stomach on flat, and yo. On what's that, and yeah, I need it all right now. Last year I had drama, girl, not right now. I was never gonna chat, what we talking about? You the only one I know can fit. Man, I always wonder if you ask yourself, is it just me? Is it just me? Or is this so good I shouldn't have to f*** for free? Is it just me? Yeah, is it just me? Is this so good? I shouldn't have.
And we're back at the Ricardo Report. That Monet, that was a hell of a game. We had some fun with that right there. Changing places. You were a great team, mom.
Of course. You know, I do what I do.
I got to be Coach T for a minute. That was wonderful. Joining us now, though, the producer of the show, Mr. Jaron Glover. JG, how you feeling today, boss?
I'm good. What about you guys?
We got a great show.
I'm good. Chad seems to think I'm bad because the Redskins lost, but I'm really good.
Man, well,
yeah, I was gonna mention something, but I figured Chad might have got to you already.
There we go. you know I did. Look, JG, we'll go ahead and start with you, brother. Last week, as we recap the games from last week, you had an opportunity to check out Falls Church in Edison. I hear this Falls Church team is a monster, man. One of the most improved programs in all of the state of Virginia. Tell us about it.
Yeah, man, they got out to an early lead. Luke Sayer, the quarterback, he hit Tyler Reynolds with the long touchdown to open up the game. And then Edison really had some problems on the punt, which the snapper, he kept snapping the ball over the punter's head. And this probably happened about two to three times where they ended up taking a safety. And even one time where Falls Church's linebacker, Ponce, he landed on the ball and gave them a touchdown. So they got points all off of special teams just in the first quarter alone that they gave them 30 points. And then, you know, DeQuandre Marshall, he had 12 carries for 210 yards and two touchdowns. And he also had a punt return for a touchdown. So it was special teams, offense. They did it all in this game.
Now, DeQuandre is a nominee for the Student Athlete of the Week, which will have been decided by the time that the show is out. But I know that this young man, he's been getting it done all season, right?
Yes, he has. He has 93 carries for 1,116 yards and 17 touchdowns. And this is just rushing touchdowns. That doesn't include the special teams touchdowns that he has for the full season.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Monet, I know that you were at a game that was a little more competitive than that one. It was Freedom and Forest Park.
Yeah. I couldn't wait for this game. Couldn't wait to get out there and see Freedom Forest Park as well. Heard they weren't doing too bad on the season. So definitely wanted to see that because you never know when a spoiler could come about. But Freedom winning clear favorite at 5-2 at that point, and having one of the best coaching staffs in Prince William County with Coach Darrell Overton leading that staff. And Coach Overton just got an accolade a couple of weeks ago as one of the best coaches in Prince William County. Could have been in Virginia. Got to check my notes on that. One thing I noticed right off is that both teams were pretty undersized than what I've been seeing consistently over this past season. Of course, you know, I see a lot of private schools and they're able to recruit and all and get the bigs, but even comparing them to Hilton, who's a conference mate of theirs, they were considerably two smaller teams. But smaller teams with big, big hearts and a lot of talent. Tyquan Brown of Freedom, of course, didn't disappoint. Although Forest Park was able to hold Tyquan in the pretty much the first half of the game, he ended with 31 carries for 131 yards and 2 touchdowns. Forest Park had 2 big plays, beautiful seam route to Andre Andrew Harden, and a punt return from Gioni Farrell. Also want to give shout out and much, much credit to both of those quarterbacks out there. Freedom's A.J. Felton, who transferred from James Monroe, and Keyshawn Copeland of Forest Park. Keyshawn, 16 for 31, 192 yards. A.J., 9 for 18, 139 yards. Both teams did a great job. Freedom came out with the win.
Tyquan Brown, also one of our Student Athlete of the Week nominees. So definitely shout out to that young man. Stand down in that area. Monet, your Westfield Bulldogs. This is a team that I had been questioning all season, and I was starting to look smart for once because they weren't playing that well.
Yeah, you know, Chad, they were having a couple of hiccups over the past couple of weeks, to the point of Coach Kyle Simmons actually looking to go back into his playbook and kind of revamp some things. Maybe it
simplistic a little bit, right?
Yeah, maybe getting Raymond running a little more, but Raymond pulled this one around. He ended up 7 for 13, 155 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So they got it together, and they whooped Centerville 35-0.
35-0, man. I mean, which really opens a lot of questions. I know that we'll talk about this a little later on, but this Centerville team, and like, they knocked off Lake Braddock.
Yeah.
What does this say about Lake Braddock?
You know, it really makes me wonder. I want to see, Chad, you know, sometimes, okay, I'm not going there.
Okay. So. Okay. Hey, look, tell the truth, shame the devil. They said something about that in the church. I don't know.
love Lamont Atkins. So, you know, I'm going to let those boys do what they do. Lake Braddock, you know, they had a good game this past week against Robinson. So I just want to see them win the bigger games that are coming down the pipeline, because they are coming. Playoffs are just around the corner. I want to see Lake Braddock do what they do. Centerville, I was surprised at that big, big loss to Westfield. Very surprised.
Yeah, Raymond Johnson, just to give that young man the credit that he deserves as well. Also, and at Ricardo Report, nominee for the Student Athlete of the Week, as we kept it down in Northern Virginia. And then Lamont Atkins as our boy. Lamont, look, if you're listening for the first time, Lamont Atkins might as well be our cousin, might as well be our kinfolk. That's our man, 50 grand right there.
Hey.
That's the fourth nominee for the Student Athlete. But yeah, Braddock, man, they got South County in a couple of weeks, JG.
Yeah, okay. JG, what you think?
Hey, listen, man, I think our boy Jack McDaniels is going to put down a show that night, man.
Listen, here's what I'll say about this. Jack McDaniels, of course, he was the winner of the Student Athlete of the Week last week. I was with him yesterday. That kid has some size on him. Made me feel a little self-conscious, man. You know, I work out a little bit. And McDaniels is a quarterback.
You're not a small guy yourself. You're about 6'2", right?
Yeah, I'm 6'2", 200 pounds. But Jack McDaniels is a college coaches out there. Jack McDaniels is a solid 6'3.5", solid 210 pounds, and the kid can quarterback. I don't know what your coaches were thinking when they had him on the bench at the beginning of the year, but JG, we ain't even gonna talk about that right now, bro. We ain't even gonna talk about it.
We ain't gonna say nothing about that.
All right, final game we're gonna.
They had him as the special sauce or something.
Right.
Like a secret weapon.
They wanted to throw Westfield off, so Westfield didn't see him fully in the first game. He'll surprise him in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. There we go. Coach had a plan. I know Coach had a plan. Look, last game we're going to talk about right now, it was that game in which McDonough lost for the second consecutive week to Spalding. I'm not trying to say nothing, but I did say this was going to happen. Monet, I think you might have. Did you? Who'd you go with last week?
I can't remember. That was
okay.
Chad, don't be going back in history.
Ooh.
Chad, McDonough, yeah, they fell to Spalding. Spalding, and you've talked about this, Evan Faulkman, for as long as we've been working together. Yep. You've been talking about Evan Faulkman. 31-16, they put it down on McDonough. You know, DeJuan Ellis did go out, so that makes a difference when the leader of the team goes out.
Well, he didn't go out voluntarily.
Yes.
He got knocked out. We love DeJuan. We love Team Ellis. Hashtag, I got a shirt. I didn't buy it. I drew it with a marker on a white t-shirt. It says hashtag Team Ellis. Love DeJuan Ellis, but he got knocked out of the game.
He went out on an injury, Chad. But Evan Faulkman, again, huge difference maker. Rushed for 162 yards and 23 carries. And then completed 13 of 22 passes for 206 yards. This young man, and we'll talk about that later. Chad, I think he's going to take that game that's coming up this week. But we'll talk about that later.
We will. All I'm going to say about that right now is that I love Evan Faulkman. I've been a fan even before he followed me back on Twitter, man. I've been singing his praises for a few years now. Saw him once 2 years ago, I think, and I saw that he was special, man. It's good to see that he's beginning to receive these accolades and praise now.
That's right.
All right. That's going to do it for our recap. Our top 10 comes up next. See where we place Spalding. See where we place Lake Braddock. See where we place the South County Stallions. Keep it locked right here. It's the Ricardo Report. I am Chad Ricardo. My top 10 is going to be the right top 10. And then we got Monet Anderson. Her top 10 is going to be, what's it going to be, Monet?
It's going to be on point.
It's going to be on point. And then we got Joshy Lori, who is over my shoulder copying off of my paper. But we'll talk about that a little later on.
Really, Chad, you can just admit that I actually know a little something about football. It's not that hard.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been working with me for about 2 years now. But starting down 10 through 6, Monet Anderson, what do you got?
All right, let's go ahead and start with number 10 down kind of in your area, but not quite, Chad.
Right.
That would be those Highland Springs Springers. They're 7-1 and continually making my top 10. Number 9, Chad, again, thanks to you. My God, how many times am I going to call your name? Spalding.
Yeah.
7-1. Beat McDonough 31-16. A convincing win next weekend. They have a big game against St. Francis. My number 8 is Gonzaga. They're holding there 6-2. They really gave it to the council this past weekend, 31-7 victory. My number 7 is Colonial Forge down there in Stafford, 7-1, beat Woodbridge 40-0 this past weekend. Big game in 2 weeks against Freedom. Number 6 is St. Francis Academy, 8-1. They pulled out a tight one this weekend, 28-26. And that's my number
6. Yeah, nothing but love for you, Monet, but you are so disrespectful to those Panthers up there. Oh, my gosh.
They're there.
They're in the top 10. All right. Here's my 10 through 6. Back into the top 10 after being out for a few weeks. A couple of teams lost. South County, you are back in my top 10. 7-1, six consecutive victories. Just missed scoring 50 points for the sixth straight game. They only scored 48 this week, so they'll have to settle there. Number 9, Oscar Smith. They've been holding steady. Two VA 6A teams. These are the two squads that I believe are going to end up meeting in that VA 6A championship. Oscar Smith is my number 9. Number 8 from down there in the 757, Bishop Sullivan Catholic, still at number 8, 7-2, four straight victories after those two tough, heartbreaking losses. They play Pasquotucket County this week. We'll see what they do. Number 7, those Highland Springs Springers from the Richmond 804 area. They're 7-1. They've won 5 in a row, looking dominant, looking to repeat their championship. And number 6, Evan Fockman and them boys from Spalding. Like you said, Monet, they didn't only beat McDonough, they beat up on McDonough, and they have moved all the way up to number 6 in my top 10 with 6 straight victories. Josh.
Okay, at number 10, I had to drop them a little bit, but this late in the season, your schedule matters, and they've got the weakest opponent rankings in my top 10. The Damascus Hornets.
Man.
At number 9, I've got the Highland Springs Springers, 7-1. They've been dominant after a loss. Another big win, 56-20 at Henrico. At number 8, I've got the Dinwiddie Generals, 8-0. They just keep on rolling through competition. Won 69-14 versus Colonial Heights. This week they play Petersburg. At number 7, of course, I've got to pay respect. I had to bump them down a spot because of the schedule, but I am giving them all the respect that is due the Wise Pumas.
Okay.
I would appreciate if my phone, if my Twitter wasn't blowing up about this.
All right. At least you're coming around a little bit, man. Who's your number 6?
Right, exactly.
And at number 6, I got the Proxima County Raiders. I know they're a VA 2A team, but they're 8-0. And if you look at their points for and points against, they have scored 326 points and only allowed 66 points this season.
You just contradict yourself. Within 4 picks, one school you say that you're dropping them down due to the schedule that they played, and then you put a 2A team in your top 10. I don't understand.
A 2A team that has played a better schedule than
against the 2A teams
behind them.
In
terms of being competitive against their competition.
Hey, you know what? You know what? You know what? Hey, listen. The Bowie Elite from the GYFL have dominated their competition as well. Josh, you want to put them in your top 10 next?
This isn't a youth football top 10. That's a nonsense question.
Come bring a VA 2A team and play them against Bowie Elite or last spring's Maryland Heat team, and I got a feeling that the game might be closer than you're calling. But I digress. I don't mean to disrespect you. Whatever team that was that Josh was talking about, I don't mean to disrespect you. Everybody, fry Josh on Twitter for this blasphemy that he's talking right now. My number 5 team that Josh has behind the 2A toddlers out there, the Wise Pumas, are my number 5 team. Monet, who's your 5?
My number 5, and you know, I always got to ride a fence. So my number 5, guys, I was going back and forth between that Howard team out there in Ellicott City. They're 8-0 in St. John's, because my top 5 consists of 8-0s, and I'll tell y'all what that means, or you probably figured out, 8-0. But my St. John's guys are still right there, so I was kind of on the fence. I think I may need Twitter to help me out on my number 5. Howard or St. John's?
Wait, you're opening a poll for your 5 or 4?
I didn't want to put either one of them at 4. I wanted them at 5.
I don't know what's going on today. Josh,
have you ever heard me be speechless before on this show? Because I am flabbergasted. I am dumbfounded, okay?
There's a madness to my madness.
All right.
If you say so.
Josh, who's your number 5 team? The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Also, I'm super hyped for that movie, but I digress. Oscar Smith's Tigers, and just so Chad doesn't raise a stink, they've got the pedigree, VA6A.
Absolutely.
7-1, had a big, big win, 56-7 over Great Bridge. Next week, they're at Kings Fork.
Nothing but respect for Oscar Smith. Only loss of the season coming to DeMatha, and that's nothing to hang your head about. Who's your number four, Josh?
Now, I know that Chad has a thing against teams that aren't in the VA6A, but these boys come to play. And, I mean, Chad's already had some words, choice words, about some of the school's alum. The Woodgrove Wolverines, 8-0, currently the 8th-ranked team in the state of Virginia by Max Preps. But if you look at how they've been dismantling teams, I've got to put them a little higher. They won 56-20 at Parkview. Next week, they're at Rock Ridge.
All right. Well, Josh,
what are they? 2A, 3A?
4A.
Yeah.
They're
4A. Yeah, you know, Josh is putting together the JV top 10. That's what we'll call it. Okay. All right. All right.
I mean, these guys are about to win the 4A title, and I mean, they could give some of the lower 6A schools a run for their money, if you ask me.
No, you're right. You're right, bro. Plus, I'm going to get eaten alive on Twitter. Guys, I respect your programs. I swear I do. My number four team, and I'm sure that your number four team could give my number four team a run. My number four team is the St. John's Cadets. Coming off of a bye this week, they hold steady at that number four position, 6-2, St. John's. Monet, do you have a four?
I actually have a real number four, and it's Damascus, 8-0. Last game, they mollywopped Magruder, 54-0. Tough game this week coming up. Seneca Valley, they meet that guy, Adrian Felice Platt, and Darius Goldston.
That's right. That's right. And my number three team is Damascus as well. Like you said, they're taking on Seneca Valley. Fellas, I'm going to be at that game. Look to see a lot going down out there. Monet, who's your three?
My number three are those boys, Brook Point, down there in Stafford. I'm telling you, Stafford has some dogs, some savages, and they're 8-0, guys.
Hey.
Outscoring their opponents 404-185. Last two games will be against Potomac and Massaponics. Potomac, don't sleep on them. They could be a spoiler, but Massaponics definitely going to be a difficult game. My number three is Brook Point.
I see. You've been talking about them for a while. I look to see them show improved. Josh, who's your three?
Okay, I've got the St. John's Cadets holding spot, 6-2, one of the most talented rosters in the nation. I think that they are going to meet up against DeMatha for a classic in that WCAC championship in about a month.
Swear you got them on a yo-yo. They moved up another spot, and they were on a bye last week. It's amazing how this happens. Who's your number two?
They're at the same
It's okay.
Spot. You can't read.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Who's your number two?
The St. Francis Academy Panthers. I'll admit, I was slow to get on this team. Especially after they brought in a new, they've basically turned around the program.
Isaiah Robinson.
Chad, are you going to allow me to get my Bennett, my mercy plea out?
Yeah,
to
go
the
ahead.
Panthers fans.
Go ahead. Yes, yes.
I was slow coming along on this team.
Gary Brightwell. Randy Fields. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Right, I'm done. Coach Hank Russell. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
All right. Well, Coach Russell and his staff have got this team to come together incredibly quickly. Their only loss is to one of the premier schools in the nation out in New Jersey. Their name is escaping me right now, but I'm sure Chad will be sure to make sure everybody on Twitter knows this by the end of the night.
Paramus! All right. St. Francis is also my number two team. I like to call them DeMatha North. They had a bit of a trap game this previous week. Not the kind of trap game that Josh Eloy said that Bishop Sullivan was going to have against Bishop O'Connell.
Again,
but a real trap game.
Potential.
Okay.
Potential. Okay. I didn't say it was a trap game.
All right.
I just said it had all the trappings of one.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. Right. St. Francis, they've got the huge game against Spalding this week. We'll talk about who we think is going to win that game coming up in just a moment. But St. Francis, i.e. DeMatha North, they're my number two. Monet.
As you've noticed, my last five have been 8-0. So here we go. Wise Pumas outscoring their opponents 350-33. Guys, Josh, that should be enough to shut you up over there, Josh.
No.
Five shutouts, guys.
But their opponents... record is 31-32. It isn't even 500.
Josh, you have 2-8 teams in your top 10. Okay. They demolished Bowie 44-0. Gotta give a shout out to those guys. I heard the quarterback out there, Jabari Lewis, is something. No, excuse me. Jabari Laws is just something else with his legs. Three wide receivers, couple of wide receivers, Kyrie Jackson and Dimitri Marcel, and a running back, John Oliver. They're all doing their thing for Coach Parrish.
And my number one team is the DeMatha Stags. Monet, your number one team is the DeMatha Stags. Josh, did you find a 1A team that's outscoring
Are you done being cute, Chad? Because it doesn't really suit you, okay? It doesn't suit you.
That is our top 10. We're all going to post these later on. We'll see whether Monet actually put St. John's at her number 5 or whether she, you know, I'm still not certain how that goes, but... Keep it locked right here. We got our pick 'em games coming up next at the Ricardo Report.
218.
Hey, no, I'm finna beyond. Hey, hey, I'm beyond all that.
Hey, little mama, would you like to be my sunshine? We touch my game, we gon' turn this to. Ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a naked flea. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent the check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run out the Bahamas. And I keep like 10 phones, then I'm really never home. All these new clones tryna copy what I'm on. You get your own, tryna pick a new bone. Break to brother Skip, boy, I had a good day. Metro PCS, trapping ball, making plays. 50 Shades of Grey, beat that p***y like Hulk Hogan. I know you know my slogan, if it ain't about guap, I'm gone. Hatin' cause I'm chosen from the concrete I had rolled. Shorty staring at my necklace cause my diamonds really froze. Put that p*** in her p***, bet she feel it in her toes. I'm a real young n***a from the 6th throwing balls. I'm a real young n***a from the 6th throwing balls. Real young n***a from the 6th throwing balls.
We are the Ricardo Report at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm Chad Ricardo, that right there, Monet Anderson, that right there, Josh E. Laurie. You at home are ready for us to talk about your pick'em games. We're going to tell you what games you should be at this week and who's going to win them. Wait, actually, guys, I think... I'm going to tell them who's going to win them, and then you two guys are just going to kind of going to pick a game. I don't know. Like, if we had a bet going right now, when was the last time I missed a game? Have you guys noticed that? Have you guys noticed?
Nobody's keeping track of it, Chad, so you can just go, and as long as you sound confident, everybody's going to believe you.
Hey, listen.
All right. Monet, it's not just me. Chad is acting like this is some bizarro late night show the way he's been going on tonight.
I'm just saying, man. Look, that's because I'm hot. Redskins lost it. Giants won. You're sorry. Steelers lost the every game I pick is right.
We're competitive with Landry Jones is a moral victory.
You sound like a Redskins fan. Competitive? Okay. All right.
Have you seen
Landry
Jones?
Okay. All right. Okay. There are high school student athletes that want us to talk about them without you blabbering about other things, Josh. Pick'em games, the first one. I will be at this one. Damascus versus Seneca Valley. The Damascus team, they are my number 3 team. Monet, I know you got them high as well. Josh just keeps on disrespecting them. Winners of 8 in a row, 8-0, taking on Seneca Valley. Only one loss on the season. Josh, who wins this game?
I mean, I've got to go with the guys who've got all the juice right now. It's Damascus. They have... What is their streak again, Chad?
Well, they've won 8. They're 8-0 this year.
I mean, going back a couple of seasons. Because you always love to throw that number at me whenever we're talking about them in the...
Yeah, I think that they've lost like one game in the last 4 years.
Straight, Josh.
They've lost like one game in the last 4 years, and you're always like, well, they don't play nobody.
A team like that, they just keep on moving. And they haven't missed a beat with the loss of Jake Funk, who was arguably the best player, the most valuable player in the state of Maryland last year.
I mean, it really makes you start to question, you know, never mind. Look, I will not question anything while I'm going to be on those sidelines this weekend. Jake Funk is a great student athlete. Yeah. He is the man, and so is all of them. As a matter, I'm not even going to make this any questionable at all. As much as I love Monet, who are those two guys out there that we love?
Where, Chad?
At Seneca Valley.
Oh, Adrian, Felice Platt, and Darius Golston.
It's especially our main man Darius Golston, i.e. the son of Tangi. Shout out to the GYFL. Love that young man. Hope he runs for 150 yards. However, I say that Damascus wins this one. I hope it's close because I'll be there. But I got them taking this one big.
All right, middleman Chad.
Chad, I'm gonna call the spoiler on this one. Hey, who's been able to stop Adrian this season?
She does have a point. He is this year's version of Jake Funk, that workhorse back is.
He definitely is. Damascus has a young man over there, too, by the name of Elijah Atkins. He's doing his thing at running back. But that Adrian, come on, I'm calling the spoiler. Seneca Valley.
Well, listen, Damascus, when I'm there, that's Monet Anderson. I'm picking you. Josh,
Lady Broadcaster.
Right, she's at Lady Broadcaster. There's no middle of the road here, Josh. I got love for Golston out there.
You were hedging your bets just a little bit.
I don't know how me saying that I hope he has a good game, but that Damascus is going to win. I don't know how that's me hedging my bets.
Monet, back me up here. He was doing a little middleman.
He was doing a little shady dance there. You know, but Chad, I'm glad you're going. I'm really glad you're going because I wanna hear more about Damascus's defense.
That's right. I'm gonna take notes for each and every one of you guys. You know, Monet, you picking against them. Josh, you've been disrespecting them all year. Damascus, I need an honorary Damascus jersey. Give me a jersey out there.
How many schools do you have jerseys hanging in your closet now?
Well, I used to, you know, there's under 18. I was going to tell you, okay. All right.
Chad, just stop.
Okay, all right. Moving on to the MIAA. This one right here. Speaking of picking against, Monet, you picked against Mount St. Joe's last week.
I did.
And those are your people.
And I call, you know, I got to give a shout out. Chad, we have a really good friend by the name of Deneen McDonald.
Miss Deneen.
Yes, Miss Deneen, we love her. She tweets us, she gets on our case, and she backs us up, and she loves us too. So, right there, Miss Deneen, I'm going with MSJ this week.
You're going with MSJ.
I am, and you know, it's okay, so, Dewan Ellis most likely will not play. He suffered a little injury to the ribs. Most likely will not be there. Dewan Ellis, in my opinion, would be the winning edge to this game. But without him, I'm not too sure. And I got to go MSJ.
Yeah. And I don't blame you for that at all. McDonough, losers of two games in a row. It went from being like number two or number three in everybody's ranking to a 5-3 team with an injured quarterback and with a team who has got to be just kind of starting to doubt themselves at least a little bit. Conversely, MSJ, we know that those boys, man, they've been turning it up, man, and they've been looking for respect. So they're going to go out there. Unfortunately, you know what? I'm picking MSJ in this game, but unfortunately, they still won't get that level of respect because if Dewan doesn't play, all love going to Malik McGriff, all love going to that offensive-defensive line. But if Dewan doesn't play, then you're not fully beating the McDonough that you would have liked to have. Absolutely. But I got MSJ in this one as well. Josh, you love to call the upset. What you got?
Oh, ye of little faith. Oh. Little faith.
Oh, boy.
Come on. When we talk about the schools who are consistently at the top of that MIAA single A, we're talking about schools that are programs.
Yes.
That have the mentality next man up.
Where are you going with this, Jeff?
I am going with McDonough. I just said, oh, ye of little faith.
Okay. All right.
Josh, you just disrespect.
I'm not disrespecting.
Coach. Coach Holzer, do not get a Schmedium shirt made for Josh Elord. Don't do it.
Josh, you said
these MIAA teams are built. They're programs that are built. What do you say about MSJ?
Yeah, you're right, Monet.
Anything against MSJ. I just feel like the offensive and defensive line for McDonough can slog the game down, make it a grinded out battle, something that they are going to want, especially with their starting quarterback out, and bog down this MSJ offense just enough where they can win a low-scoring affair.
Does sound like Josh was saying that MSJ does not belong in that category of top-level programs. Monet, we gonna let the people listen for themselves, man. But staying in the MIAA, but moving on, the big game of the weekend, the one I swear that this is the one that I want to be at, guys. I'm sorry that I'm not here for you. This is Spalding at St. Francis. Two, as far as my top 10 goes, two top 10 teams battling it out. I think that this is going to be the game of the weekend. Josh, who do you got?
Panthers. Every time I pick against them, bad things happen.
You're damn right they happen, Josh. You're damn right. And it's about time you start coming around and listening and putting some respect on the name of the St. Francis Academy Panthers. We haven't said that in a while.
Oh, bad things happen to you, Josh. Like the bus splashes mud on you while you're standing on the top.
Or I have to listen to Birdman on this interview.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, guys? I'm calling another upset.
Oh, my gosh.
Spalding is taking this one. Hey, Chad, Evan Bachman, you know what he did in the last game? Chad,
yo.
Evan Bachman is the man. He completely turned around his offense last weekend.
I swear.
For the guys, that young man is a savage.
This is why I say this. I've been telling you all about Evan Bachman for the last 2 years, and now, you guys.
Give me credit. I was hip to him at the beginning of the season. I spent my summer studying the film.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know. But, well, look, man. And I do.
Are you going to give me credit or are you just going to mince words?
I kind of. I don't know that it was the absolute beginning of the season, but it was kind of. It was close to it.
The season preview, I said Spalding was going to be a major player in the MIAA because of Faulkner.
Okay,
well, remember, because I could not say his name right, and you went on a whole rant about that.
Yeah, this is actually like the first time you've ever said his name right, but I digress. Evan Faulkner, my main man, we got people. Hey, Ev, I'm going to come watch you all's game, and then I'm going to MC a bar mitzvah the next day. And I mean that. That's not me saying an insensitive thing. I actually mean that. It's what I do. So Faulkner is about to go over 1,000 yards rushing, as well as obviously he's gone over 1,000 yards receiving. It's not just him, though. They've got a young man named Chestnut who's running the ball out there. They got a linebacker named Vermillion out there who is breaking things down on defense and just tearing up everything. He's an all-star player. This Spalding team has earned all of the respect. Only loss on the season came to Gilman. They've been whooping everybody since, but I gotta roll with my Panthers. Gotta roll with Isaiah Robinson. I gotta roll with Gary Brightwell. I gotta roll with my main man Randy Fields. I gotta roll with them because they're doing it for Tyree Henry. I gotta roll with them because they are DeMatha North. I gotta roll with them because they play offense the right way. Roll with them because they play defense the right way. Roll with them because they are gonna punch Spalding in the mouth in a way that Spalding has not been punched in the mouth for the rest of this season. And unfortunately for Spalding and my main man Evan Faulkner, they're gonna wear them down, and by the time the four zeros hit the clock, this St. Francis team will have won by 12 points. I'm taking St. Francis Academy.
Chad, you put a serious spin on that thing right there. That's what you just did. You
know, that's what I do right there. But
yeah, spin zone.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Monet, it's time for your moment.
All right, let's spin it. on Twitter, Chad. They call him, you know him, I know him, we know him as numero dos. But in many ways, he is numero uno. Congratulations to our buddy, Mr. Christian Greaves. He had two picks, including a 100-yard pick six, assisting his team, Einstein, with a win over Springbrook 36-0. He is the player of the week. Congratulations, Chris. I saw that and had to give you your big ups.
We love Chris Greaves.
Another huge shout out. Lackey High School, Chad. We've seen this over the last couple of days, and I know I put it on Twitter, but I had to give this young man his due. He's said to be an outside linebacker, but I think he's doing much more than that. Malik Burns, who scored 5 touchdowns in a 41-6 victory over McDonough.
Not the other McDonough.
Adding to those stats, 19 carries, 295 yards, and he only played until the first drive of the third quarter.
My God.
With this, Chad, he's close to 2,000 yards on the year at only 8 games thus far. This is one young man who scouts definitely need to check out. 6'3", 230, incredible speed. Malik Burns, Lackey High School, check him out. And lastly, guys, I know you all want to get in on this. Shout out to Lorenzo Lolo Harrison, Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Not only are we very proud of Lolo and those guys repping the movement, Big Squill, Terrence Davis, and Tino Ellis doing their thing as well, getting starting time as freshmen.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Tino started that game, man. I mean, look, this is, if you ever needed like a commercial for the movement, like you needed a commercial, they're doing it right now. They're showing why this is something that should be happening.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And Chad, that is Monet's moment. If you like a moment with me, please hit me up on Twitter at Lady Broadcaster.
Thank you, Monet Anderson. That was fantastic, as it always is.
All right.
It is now time for us to get up out of here, but can't do it without giving thanks to each and every one of our contributors on the show here today. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, producer Jaron Glover, WCAC insider Darrell Balknight, and our kid brother Josh JVE Laurie. But I couldn't get it done without you, Miss Monet Anderson.
Well, as usual, we open the show side by side. You put the key in the ignition, and it's on.
That's right. And we could not be the official source of high school sports in the DMV without you, and especially you. So on behalf of Josh JVE Laurie, on behalf of Miss Monet Anderson, I am Chad Ricardo, and this is the Ricardo Report.
On 1340 AM, Fox Sports. See you all next week.
Happy birthday, Mom. Yeah, we're out. Great job.